Well, good morning. It's so great to be back in person with you all this week. My wife and I have been out on vacation going to a couple different weddings. So if you're afraid, stay away, I guess. But it's so great to be with you guys this week. This week, we are in week three of our series, You Shall Be My Witnesses. And today, I get the joy of talking about blessed to be a blessing. Now, after saying that, if I'm honest with you all, when Doug asked me several months back to speak on the topic of blessed to be a blessing, in my mind, kind of the subtext that was going on was, you have got to be kidding me. Like, Doug, you're crazy. And then the second thought was like, really, Lord? Really? Like, you know what's going on in my life. You know what's going on in my heart. You know what's going on in my relationship with my wife and the struggles that we're having. Really? Blessed to be a blessing? I don't feel that way. Because this season for my wife and I has not felt like a blessing. I don't know if you've been there before or not. I think if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure you have. I think we've all been there at some point. And so my wife and I for the last 19 months have been struggling with getting pregnant, with having a child. And so we've been grieving this process. We've been walking through all the unknowns. We've been dealing with all of the different procedures and doctor's appointments. I've been to the doctor's office more in the last 6 months than I have in my entire life combined. And so if you were to ask me the question, like, hey, how are you doing? And then if you were to follow that question up with, do you feel blessed right now? My honest answer would be, I don't feel that way. And so the question becomes, what do you do? What do you do when what you're experiencing in life doesn't match up with you, what you know to be true about God? What do you do with that? How do you wrestle with that? How do I wrestle with, God, you say that I'm blessed, but I don't feel that way? And so as we look through Scripture, we find that the Lord speaks of blessing. And it's much more than a feeling, because blessings are actually a biblical truth. That God has blessed us. And so I think it would do well of us this morning to study together how we are blessed from an Old Testament covenant, and then how we can have hope even when we don't feel like we're blessed. And then finally, what is our responsibility? What is our biblical call, our biblical mandate to be a blessing to those around us? So let's talk about this idea of covenant blessing, because it's a very old idea. Think like Genesis old. Think like Father Abraham had many sons old, and many sons had Father Abraham. Genesis 12:2 is God giving out this blessing or this promise. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. And so Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3 says this, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So God promises Abraham that he is going to bless him. But if you notice, there's actually a second part to that blessing. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but the purpose of my blessing you is so that you will be a blessing to the nations. So that you will take my story, you will take who I am to the nations. And I'll supply you with what you need to do that. Genesis 17:4 continues on with this language of blessing and of covenant. He said, the Lord says to Abraham, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations." And so what is God setting up? What is the result of the promise to Abraham? The result of the promise to Abraham is that the nation of Israel, who are the descendants of Abraham, the sons and daughters of Abraham, that they will eventually bring forth a man named David. We know of him as King David. And then out of the line of King David, or out of the descendants of King David, would eventually come Christ himself. Paul says in Galatians 3:29 that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. So when God promises to Abraham almost 4,000 years ago that his covenant is with him and that he will father many nations, this is what God is getting at. God was setting in place a plan. He was putting into action the plan of redemption, the plan of bringing blessing to the nations. That anyone who believes in his son shall be an heir according to the promises of God. And so as you read through the Old Testament, you see that the nation of Israel knew about this covenant blessing. They knew about the fact that their great-great-great-great-grandfather was the man who received this blessing from God, and they knew what they were supposed to do with that blessing. And so you see the psalmist in Psalm 67, 1 through 3, pleading with God on behalf of the nation of Israel that God will bless them so they can be a blessing to the nations. The psalmist says this, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, that your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." And so the psalmist is wanting God to be gracious to the nation of Israel. He's wanting God to be gracious to him so that God's mission would ultimately be carried out on the earth, so that the people of the earth will praise God because of his saving power. Like, how cool of a moment is that? That God gives us exactly what we need to be able to carry out the biblical mission that he has given to us. And so the reason that we are blessed to be a blessing is because God has made a covenant with Abraham. And God is faithful throughout the course of time to keep that covenant, to not go back on his promises. And as a result of the promises given to Abraham and his descendants, now by extension to us as believers in Christ, we get to share in the blessings of God. This means that we can have a hope in the blessings of God because we know his promises are true, that what he says will happen. And so how do we have hope in blessing? Because the blessing that God gives to Abraham declares what God will be faithful to do, not only for Abraham, but the descendants of Abraham. And as believers, this gives us hope because we can share in that same blessing. And so often I think that we think of blessings in this way. Right? We think of blessings as, God, if you would just allow me to make a little bit more money. God, if you could just give me a little bit more stuff. Whatever that may be for you. God, if you would just protect my family. God, if you would just help me pass this next exam. God, if you could just help that scan to come back clean. All of those things are great things to ask God. I'm not saying those are not. But what I am saying is, what if God's idea of blessing is a little bit different than that? What if God's idea of blessing is not just what he can do for us, but what God desires to bless us with? What if it's in the pain that we get to experience the supernatural power of the blessings of God through the most difficult times in our life? In the book of Job, we find a man who fears the Lord and turns away from evil. That's literally the description that the Bible gives Job. Like, what a cool description, right? He was a man that fears the Lord and he turns away from evil. So that's who Job is. And so Satan, knowing who Job is, wants to test him, wants to see that if he really is who he says he is or who God has made him to be, then I'll be able to trick him or I'll be able to get him to do what he doesn't want him to do. And so God allows Satan to test Job. What's important, I think, to note about this section of Scripture in Job chapter 1 in verse 10, it says that Satan himself says, "You have blessed the work of his hands," speaking of Job. And he says, "And his possessions have increased in the land." That sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? What Satan is saying to God about Job is a direct result of the Abrahamic covenant. Because the Abrahamic covenant is a land blessing, that God is going to give the nation of Israel a land to call their own, a home to call their own. That he's going to increase their seed, which is Old Testament language for you're going to have a lot of kids. And that he will bless them. And so we read in the book of Job that this is exactly what God is doing. God is faithful to his promises. In verses 13 through 19, though, the story kind of dramatically reverses course. As Satan is systematically taking everything that Job possesses, he's killing those who work for him, and he's murdering his children. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? With literally within the span of 12 hours, everything that you know about life and the people you love are completely gone. Listen to what Job says in chapter 1 of Job, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, speaking of the Lord, I will hope in him. Yet I will argue my ways to his face. So what Job understands, and I think what we need to understand this morning about the blessings of God, is that even our deepest pains and our disappointments are opportunities for God to bless us, because they are times in which our faith is strengthened. And our belief in what is to come only becomes more resolved. And so for us as modern believers, I think we see the work of the Holy Spirit when we praise God even in the midst of our deepest heartaches. That the praise comes from knowing God is in control, that it doesn't lessen the pain that we feel. I'm not trying to, you know, sprinkle coat it here and say it's better or it's easier. I'm not saying that the pain gets any easier. I'm saying, in fact, that it gives witness to what we believe, that even though the pain is great, that God is ultimately greater. And I know this to be true because of the season of life that my wife and I are in. It's caused us to question God. It's caused us to go, God, do you believe that we would be good parents? God, do you love us? God, do you want to bless us? Because all throughout Scripture, you see that children are a blessing from the Lord. And it's like, God, is that not true about us? What are we doing wrong? Wrestled with God. We pleaded our case to him, as it says that Job says that I will continue to bring my pleas before your face, that he would bless us with a child. We've asked for peace and comfort, that we would be patient in the process, that we would not grow weary, that we would not lose heart in the wrestle, and that we would trust in the fact that God's plan, ultimately, even if we don't have a biological child, is still to bless us. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But you know what? Some of the tougher days of my life, some of the days that I can't answer my wife's questions, and I hate that because I like to have answers, and I just have to look her in the face and go, you know what? I don't know. The days where I can't be the pastor and just go, well, hey, just read this verse, memorize this verse, because I don't know what I believe about that. Those have been some of the best days of my life. Some of the absolute best days of my life. Why? Because it's hard times that God uses to shape and to chisel away and to refine us more into his image, more into the image of his son. And God, I think, loves us too much to give us what we want and not what we actually need. So a few days ago, God's provision, God's blessing, I read Psalm 27:13, which says, yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. After reading that, I just got this overwhelming sense from the Lord that what if all the pain, all the suffering, all the frustration, all the fear, all the doubt, all the worry, what if that is all actually a blessing of the Lord? That it would cause us to build our faith, to build our trust, that it would mend our relationship together as a couple, that we would walk away from this stronger than we were when we walked into this. What if all of that Whether or not we have a child, that the goodness of God is still true in our lives, and that he is using that story for us to proclaim his goodness to the earth. What if that is the blessing that God is speaking of? Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord." So regardless of what it is for you, because I know that obviously infertility, and that is not everybody's story. But there are other stories in this room. And so maybe it's for you, it's relationship status. Maybe it's health complications. Maybe it's a problem at work. Whatever you're struggling with, just because it doesn't feel like a blessing doesn't mean that God isn't going to use it to build your faith. I think our desire to have this pain removed or this loss restored or these hurtful circumstances altered must not eclipse our desire for the God who is powerful enough to remove it, the God who is powerful enough to restore it, but the God who is also loving us in a way that is greater than we can understand. And so I don't tell you this. I don't stand up here seeking pity. I don't stand up here seeking sympathy. I do stand up here to be vulnerable with you guys, because what we know to be true about vulnerability is that vulnerability begets vulnerability. And as believers, we are called to be vulnerable with one another. We are called to confess our sins to one another. We are called to confess our fears and our doubts and our worries and our frustrations with one another. Because why? Because when we do that, Scripture says that God will be faithful to heal us. So the confessing of our deepest, darkest secrets actually leads to our healing, which can only point to a blessing from God. So I share this story to witness to you. We're talking about that we are called to be witnesses, that you shall be my witnesses is the last thing that Jesus says before he leaves the earth. And so this is part of my story. This is part of my witness. And right now I don't like it. Right now it's not the easiest thing, but it's what God is using to bless me so that I can bless you, so that I can share about the manifold glory and grace of God, even in the midst of pain. God doesn't call us to what is easiest. He calls us to what will bless us the most, even if it hurts. So in light of that, Old Testament blessing to Abraham extended to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. God uses even our pain and our frustration as blessings. So what do we do with that? How do we follow the biblical mandate that was given to Abraham that we would not only receive these tremendous blessings from the Lord, but that we would pass them on, that we would get to play a part as God's ambassadors to the earth, that our stories would bless others? Ben last week did a great job of sharing with us about what the gospel is. And he said that the gospel just isn't a story, but that the gospel radically transforms people. That it takes them from death to life. It takes them from sin and destruction to peace and freedom. And so what does it transform them into? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore, because God has transformed us, because God has reconciled us to himself, because God has taken what is broken and restored it, we are ambassadors for Christ. And because we are ambassadors of Christ, God is making his appeal through us. He says, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." What Paul is saying is that we don't just become the rescued, we become the rescuers. We aren't just reconciled to God to know that we're reconciled to God, that we actually help in the reconciliation process. And so when God makes you new, you don't just receive that blessing and go, "Well, that's great. Thank you, Lord," and let it terminate with you. You go, "No, I'm called to a particular purpose now. I'm called to be about the things of God. And I'm called to allow that blessing to flow out of me and into this world." And what's so much fun for me to stand up here this morning and share this with you all is that in this room right now, there are 150 ambassadors for Christ. There are 150 people that carry a story that is not meant to terminate on themselves, but is meant to bless those that they interact with. It's like we have the United Nations of God's ambassadors in here. Because you all have a different place. You all have a different office or a different school, a different neighborhood. All of you have a different identity than who God has created you to be. But ultimately, all of those point to the fact that you're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. So I talk to so many people who are like, man, I just wish I could be happy. I just wish I could find out my purpose. I just wish I could know what I'm supposed to do in life. Life is found in Christ and being about his mission. As an ambassador, you're God's representative, and you bring the message of the gospel to people. And so it's in completing that mission, in completing the purpose that God has created you for, that you find life, that you find an abundance of life, as the scripture talks about. The life that you hope and desire for is found in knowing who you are in Christ and knowing and being about his mission. So what's the message? What do you tell people? What's your tagline as an ambassador for the kingdom? 2 Corinthians 5:20. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Literally, the message of an ambassador of Christ is this. We beg you. We want you to be reconciled to God. Because as an ambassador of Christ, you have seen the radical transformation of God. You've seen the gospel played out in your life. You've seen how you have gone from death and sin and destruction to life and to peace and to freedom. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. We just talked about that with blessings. But you now have the opportunity to share that love and to share that grace that God has extended to you with someone else. And it's that simple. I think we like to overcomplicate things. We like to think that, man, I have to have it all together. I have to have this crazy story of how I was in this place in life and now I'm not, and look at what God has done. It's not true. Everybody has a story, and everybody has an opportunity as a believer, as an ambassador, to share that relationship with someone else, to tell them that there is a God in heaven who has sent his son to die for them. And in his death, they live. Like, what an amazing story is that? That we literally get to tell people about what will take them from death and destruction to life. So what if as ambassadors of Christ, we saw people not just as scenery, just as things we pass by, as something that we don't really notice. They're just kind of there as we go about our life. What if we didn't see people as machinery? Just something that we can use as a means to an end to get what we want. To prop ourselves up. To become more successful in our pursuit of what we know won't fulfill us. What if we saw each person that we interacted with as an opportunity for ministry? What would it do to our schools? What would it do to our cities? What would it do to our homes? What would it do to our workplaces? If this is the way we thought, if this was the mission that we carried out, that if we saw that person that when we go out to lunch or we go out to dinner, that we saw that person that was serving us as a divine appointment from God, not just as something that's to be consumed. What if we saw them and we steered that conversation towards spiritual things? That is, we went there week after week after week, purposefully, with the purpose of going, I know that I can be a blessing to you. And we have those conversations, and eventually we tell them, hey, you know what? It's changed my life. We get that opportunity. And what's cool about that is when we get that opportunity, not only does it bless them, but it also blesses us. Because we get to see that God is about his mission and that we get to be a part of it. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ speak truth and life. We take time to listen without feeling the need to respond. We stand with those who are being taken advantage of as we fight for reconciliation. We see the best in each other. We build relationships with others that don't look like us, don't talk like us, don't act like us, don't think like us. We stand ready to be winsome in our defense of the gospel, and we look to treat others with the same love and respect that God has treated us with. R.C. Sproul says, one of the worst things that we can ever do is waste the gift that God has given to us. As ambassadors of Christ, we herald the good news of Jesus Christ that redemption and reconciliation and salvation has come. And we are called to use the blessings of God to bless others. Let's take it home this morning. It's amazing to me how God works. As I told you, when Doug first asked me to talk about this idea of blessed to be a blessing, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way. And I wanted to be frustrated with God, but after seeing God's plan from the time of Abraham 4,000 years ago to redeem and to restore the world that he has created, to bring us back into right relationship with him, I realized that the story of redemption like this, such a grand story, could only be the blessing of a God who is faithful to his promises. Could only be the blessing of a God who loves his creation so much that he doesn't call us to what is easy. He doesn't call us to what is easy. But he calls us to what will bless us the most, even though it may hurt. God has blessed us all, even in the painful moments of life, so that we, as ambassadors of Christ, can share our story with the world, that we can be faithful witnesses to the goodness and glory of God on the earth. That's your mission. That's what you get to do. That's the opportunity that you have to participate in God's grand story while you're here on this earth. We love you guys. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. You guys know what to do now. Go love first, right? We love because he has first loved us. You guys have a great week. Have a great week of worship, and we'll see you back next week. Love you all.